From the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
The Bay Area gets a chance to dry out this morning, but more rain is on the way. Details are coming up in the forecast. What will happen if the UC worker strike continues into finals week? Students say it's already having an impact.
The workload is a little bit harder because I'm not getting that extra assistance.
It's disruptive, but I guess that's the point of the strike.
And volunteers turn out by the hundreds in San Jose to pack up food for those in need. Good morning. It is Sunday, December 4th. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Devin Feely. Now, this is a live look outside at our Bay Area bridges. The rain has tapered off. It is mostly dry and cloudy right now, but the roads are still wet, and the CHP has a reminder for drivers.
And our biggest advice to everyone on these days is slow down. That's by far the number one cause of crashes on rain days, is just people going too fast for these wet roadways. It's time to replace your windshield wipers, make sure you still have good tread on your tires. Again, very often the most common cause of crashes that we see is people spinning out, which is only made worse when you have low friction due to poorly maintained tires. If you're out there driving and you come across standing water across the entire roadway and you're not sure how deep it is, please don't try.
And take a look at the damage caused to multiple cars last night in Pleasant Hill. You can see that a tree toppled onto at least two cars. Residents say they don't know exactly how or why it got knocked over, but they're stuck waiting for the city to come clear the debris. Let's get a quick check of our weather with First Alert meteorologist Darren Peck.
Still got about three more days to go, Devin. Granted, we are not going to get continuous steady rain like we got yesterday over the next 3 days. Instead, we're going to get what we're seeing right now, which is isolated showers and a few isolated thunderstorms thrown in. You can see the flashes of lightning showing up just off the northern Sonoma County coast over the course of the last few hours. So if you take that line where you get the lightning, you're also going to get brief heavy cells of rain. So they'll come down in a quick period of time, but they'll drop a good amount. That could mess with the drive in very localized ways through this morning, but also watching the future cast all the way through Tuesday morning. There's going to be more time over the next 3 days when you're not getting rained on than when you are. A lot more time, in fact. But every so often, another organized line of heavier rain is going to march through. There's one tomorrow morning. So most of Sunday was fairly quiet. We'll take that and we'll play it all the way through Tuesday, coming up in the complete First Alert forecast. But just to leave you with the running tally so far, just since yesterday morning at this time, I've already gotten an inch of rain in San Jose. Got over an inch in Castro Valley and close to that in Concord. And we're still going. I'll see you at the rest of this in just a few minutes. Devin, back over to you.
All right. Thanks, Darren. Well, firefighters in San Francisco were busy early yesterday. First, a commercial building fire broke out in the south of Market area about 1:30 a.m. It was contained in about an hour. There were no reports of injuries or if anyone was displaced by that fire, and there is no word on what caused it. Then around 4 a.m. yesterday, a two-alarm fire broke out in the Bernal Heights neighborhood. Now, this one was at an unoccupied residential building on Franconia Street. It took a bit longer to get that fire under control. Firefighters got the fire contained around 9 in the morning. Now, here's the good news. There were no reported injuries, and the cause of that second fire is still under investigation. Well, happening today, San Francisco's Tenderloin Center is closing down for good. The center's been controversial since it first opened following Mayor London Breed's state of emergency order last year. It's provided basics like showers as well as resources to reduce overdose deaths by connecting people to treatment options. City Supervisor Dean Preston, who represents the Tenderloin, he was critical of the mayor for ignoring the Board of Supervisors' resolution urging her not to close that center down. He said that the mayor's decision was, quote, an unconscionable failure of leadership. The UC strike is entering its fourth week now, and with finals approaching, many students at Berkeley and other campuses worry about the effect it's going to have on their grades. There is some progress, however. In the past few days, the UC system struck a tentative deal with one group of workers, but those employees say that they're not going back to their jobs until everyone has a fair contract. KPIX5's Da Lin talked with UC Berkeley students about the strike's impact on them.
All the group discussions, labs, and small classes taught by the graduate student instructors have been canceled. Students say it's not business as usual.
It's quiet at this UC Berkeley student community room. Everyone is focused on their work. No one's touching the pool or a ping pong table.
It's just nice studying with a group of people. I feel like it gives you, more productivity.
These three friends studying in what's known as dead week. No lectures in the next 7 days, but a lot of book reading, researching, and going over notes to prepare for finals, which start on December 12th.
Definitely the workload is a little bit harder because I'm not getting that extra assistance.
All the discussions that I've had have all been canceled. Everything that's been taught by a graduate student has been canceled.
Freshman Joshua Song is a double major in psychology and legal studies. His classes are hard enough, even with the help of graduate student instructors, or GSIs. But the strike has wiped away any kind of assistance for Berkeley and UC students across the state.
I'm really just going to talk with other people and study with other people. I'm going to make game plans with people, like schedule like study events at libraries or in our dorms.
Freshman Owen Yi has a computer science class that's got over 1,000 students. So much of the learning really happens in the smaller group sessions led by the GSIs. The cancellation now forces him to rely on friends and classmates for help.
Sometimes if I'm on my own, I'll just get stuck and then won't really like learn too much from that day.
Freshman Michael Karazin says it's been a tough transition from high school to a very competitive university. He says the strike made him more challenging as they prepare for final exams.
In my math class, they've had to shift the entire grading structure to weigh the final more because they've not been able to grade the quizzes for the second half of the semester.
Even though the strike has been very disruptive, most students say they support their GSIs as they demand a better wage. The unions say many of the GSIs make around $23,000 a year.
It would be great if it could be resolved sometime soon to bring things back to normal.
The students are mindful higher wages could lead to higher tuition. They hope the state can provide more funding. At UC Berkeley, I'm Da Lin, KPIX5.
The East Bay nonprofit Kids Bike Lane believes that every child deserves a shiny gift on Christmas morning. Now, they partnered with a storage company to provide new bikes for struggling families. Volunteers assembled more than 500 bikes on Saturday. Kids Bike Lane and Unit Storage Company will give them to various East Bay charities to make sure that young people have new ways to get around this season. They weren't the only ones pitching in. Hundreds of people in the South Bay donated their time and resources yesterday to support people in need. More than 350 volunteers turned out for San Jose's Helping Hands Day. They packed up food boxes with dry goods and fruits and vegetables. Now, volunteers boxed up 160,000 meals on Saturday. Local manager says it's more than just business.
We brought our kids here as they were growing up to do volunteer work, so it's a good way to sort of instill that spirit into them, and so they can, you know, pass it on hopefully in the future to their kids as well. It's a great way to support the community.
The folks at Second Harvest says that this is an especially difficult time after pandemic-related government aid ran out. If you want to help or if you want to volunteer, the information is on Second Harvest's website.